the last couple of weeks, and you'll get that flavor again today. We pray that God would richly bless us as we bridge from the season of Easter to our joyous celebration of Pentecost next week. This past Wednesday, we celebrated the ascension of Jesus, the physical, bodily ascension, 40 days after Easter, of Jesus into heaven. And we'll have a few ascension hymns during the distribution of the Lord's Supper to remind us of that great gift as well. Our opening hymn is number 482, This Joyful Eastertide. Great Easter hymn to get us in the Easter mood for the season. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. Have a worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. When it comes to the hymn of praise, we'll be singing This Is the Feast. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we know that you are a God of truth. You love the truth. You abhor lies and evil. Heavenly Father, all too often we are enamored by the lies of the devil, the world, and our flesh. We would much rather hear and live and wallow in the lie than listen to the truth. Heavenly Father, in the midst of our sin, point us to Jesus and his completed work for us. Heavenly Father, fill us with the Spirit of truth, which points us to Jesus, his cross, his empty tomb, forgiveness, life, and salvation in his name. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified, risen, ascended, and returning for us and for our salvation. Amen. Amen. 482.
Thank you. line, service setting one, page 151 in your hymnal, page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This time I invite you to turn to the introit as it's printed in your bulletin. We'll sing it together. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the readings. The Old Testament lesson for this morning, the seventh Sunday of Easter, comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations, and gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my just decrees. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. According to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters. Jesus said, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God, and they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, hymn number 500, Creator Spirit, by whose aid.
from whence he came, to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, to rule and reign throughout all eternity, and to fill all things. And he has given us a series of promises that although we cannot see him, he has not left us like orphans. He has promised, "Behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And today in our gospel reading, we hear another one of Jesus' promises when he says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." Jesus has promised us the gift of the Helper, the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, the one who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth. That is, he works faith. By hearing God's word, the Holy Spirit is given, so that we have faith which trusts in our only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. Faith that clings to him in his bloody sacrifice and glorious resurrection, so that your sins and my sins are forgiven. Apart from this gift of the Holy Spirit, we would not believe. It would be impossible for us to have faith or confess Jesus as Lord. But the Spirit of truth has come to us through the Word of God. And yet we, in the sinful, fallen world, all too often refuse the truth. And we supplement it with the lie. The truth is that Jesus is the only Savior from our sin. Apart from him, we would be lost and condemned to hell. But through him and through his sacrifice, we are made holy. The lie is that we can justify ourselves before God, before men, and even to ourselves by our thoughts, our words, our actions, which only ever leads to hell. Why is it that we are so prone to believe the lie and throw the truth out the window? It is because we come from our first parents, Adam and Eve, the ones who perfectly knew the truth. They knew who their God was who had created them. They knew how much he loved them. He even made them in his own image and gave them dominion over the whole world to subdue it and multiply upon it. But they took this truth of God and they cast it under their feet to believe the lie given by the father of lies, Satan himself. And as soon as they were convinced of this lie, to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they put it to their mouths and took the bite, they immediately began to try to justify themselves. When God confronted Adam with his sin, trying to reveal the truth to him so that he might repent and cling to God in his love for forgiveness, Adam refused. But instead, he took the finger from pointing at himself and pointed it at God and said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." And Eve, upon hearing this, wanted to justify herself. "Oh, no, God, it's not my fault. The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Apart from God's word, we would not know the truth of how evil we really are, how sinful we are, and far from God. But the Spirit of truth has borne witness to us that, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." since the very moment of our life began here in this world. We've been trying to justify ourselves in our sin instead of clinging in faith to the only Savior from sin, Jesus Christ. And so God repeatedly sends His Spirit to us through the Word to convict us of our sin and to give us faith, which clings to Jesus and His forgiveness. As we read throughout the Holy Scriptures, there is nothing new. God's people are continually trying to justify themselves. If we turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, we hear about the prophet Elijah and King Ahab. Elijah prophesied that they would have 7 years of drought in Israel because they had sinned and fallen away from the one true God. And after the 7 years were nearly complete, God told Elijah, go back to King Ahab, even though this man desperately desired to kill the Lord's prophet. And so, Elijah did what God said. He went back to the king, and as soon as the king saw him, he said, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" King Ahab did not want to admit or confess his own sin and the sin of the people he was living with, to point the finger rightfully at himself and say, "I am the cause of God's wrath against this people." But instead, he wanted to blame the servant of God, whom God had sent to him to speak his word in its truth and purity. And Elijah was bold in the faith. And he continued to confess the truth by saying, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals." Or we could read from Exodus chapter 32, the famous golden calf incident. We know that Aaron obeyed the will of the people and crafted this golden calf with his own hands, making the people of Israel fall into sin by worshiping a false god. And so when Moses, God's servant, came to confront him with his sin, Aaron refused to admit it. "Moses, it's not me who has done this thing, but the people. You know this people, that they are set on evil. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into this fire, and out came this calf." Refusing to confess his own sin, but to point the finger at somebody else to justify himself. We could continue reading on in God's Word and hear this over and over and over again. And as we read it and meditate on it, we go, how could God's people be so foolish? How is it that they could continually try to justify themselves when they know how far they have fallen from God's grace? But dear brothers and sisters, we are no different. We just confessed at the beginning of this service, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's word from 1 John is clear. If we say we are not sinners, if we say we do not need Jesus to forgive us through his bloody death and glorious resurrection, then the truth is not in us. The Spirit of truth does not dwell within us, and we do not have faith. We continually live our lives here in this world, not wanting to rest solely on the perfect life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But we try to justify ourselves before God, before other people, and even to ourselves by our own reasoning or our words or our actions. We live in a world that has a great estate which every people practice, the holy estate of marriage, which we know in our country 50% of marriages end in divorce, and not divorce based on God's word, divorce caused by adultery or malicious dissent, but divorce based on no fault. We don't have to blame ourselves. We don't even have to blame our spouse. We can get a no-fault divorce. We've simply drifted apart over time. We're not in love like we used to be. It would be better off for both parties if we simply separated. And we justify in our own minds tearing asunder what God has joined together. Popping up all over the place, and we're going to continue to see it this month, it's Pride Month, where people boast in the sin of homosexuality. And one of the arguments that they use to justify this is, I was born this way, which is simply a fancy way of not pointing the finger towards themselves, but towards God. If you were born that way, that means you were created that way, which means your Creator made you sin. And so they justify their own sinful lust and desires by refusing to confess their sin and pointing the blame towards someone else. We continue going on. Think about the person who is confronted by their spouse or by close family members or friends, which says, you really shouldn't be going to those websites late at night. They're not beneficial for you, and you're not doing a right service to your neighbor by idolizing their bodies in such a way. But when they are confronted with their sin, they don't want to confess that they are doing wrong, but towards their spouses, they might try to flip it on end, going, well, if you were more intimate with me, then I wouldn't have to go to those type of websites. Their friends or their family members, they might point the finger up and say, well, if God had given me a spouse, then I wouldn't have to do these things. And they justify their own lusts in their head. Or even simple things. You're sitting down before April 15th, and you're looking at all the expenses that you've had for the year, and you see some things that you know you could write down as a tax write-off, even though you probably shouldn't. But you reason it out to yourself, why should I pay more taxes to the government? I worked hard for my own money. Why can't I keep it and use it any way I see fit? And we throw out God's word, which says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Or even the most minuscule in our minds of sins that we try to justify. Being lazy. You're at work and you decide, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do today. After all, I worked hard last week. That should count for something. Look at all these other people around me. They don't work half as hard as me. I can justify taking a little break. And so we destroy the seventh commandment by stealing our wage instead of earning it through the labors of our hands. We could go on and on and on. We continually live our lives trying to justify ourselves and our sin. And what peace does it bring? We can never be totally convinced. Every time we read God's word, we know that He knows all of our sins. And so Jesus promises us the Helper, the Spirit of truth, who comes through the preaching of the Word of God in its truth and purity and through the sacraments to continually bear witness to us that we were lost and condemned sinners. But through the perfect work of Jesus Christ for us, our sins are forgiven. Jesus lived a perfect life, never justifying himself, even though he was the only person who ever walked this world blameless and without sin. When the scribes and the Pharisees and the lawyers and the chief priests would come up to him during his earthly ministry and ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, even to forgive sins?" Jesus could have testified concerning himself. He would have been just in speaking the truth to do so, but he didn't. Instead, he pointed back towards the scriptures and revealed from them the reason why he was doing these things. And if that were not enough, he pointed to the miracles themselves. God the Father had allowed him to do these things to show that he was pleased with his Son, to show that he does have authority to do the things that he was doing. And Jesus continued on, even being willingly betrayed and handed over. And when false witnesses were brought up against him to try to damn him to death, he remained silent. He opened not his mouth. He didn't try to justify himself, but he stayed silent and did his Father's will so that he might take your sin and my sin away. And he was nailed to a cross. And even as they were nailing the nails in his hands and feet, he still did not rail out against them. But for you and for me, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And he died, shedding his holy and precious blood for you and for your salvation. And rising again victoriously on that first Easter Sunday, he then proceeded to ascend into heaven, where he rules and reigns at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and has sent the Spirit of truth through water and the Word, in our baptisms, claiming us as his very own children, so that with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, we may have faith. Faith that doesn't try to justify ourselves, but boldly confesses our sins and clings to Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't have to live our lives trying to justify ourselves. We don't have to continually be in fear, wondering whether or not we have done enough to present ourselves before God blameless on the last day. We rest assured in the faith that Jesus has given us through the Spirit of truth in the Word that clings to him through his life, death, and resurrection, and his words that say to you, your sins, even your sins of self-justification, are forgiven by his blood. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We stand and confess boldly our one faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe
in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us
God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Mark Simnett, whose surgery is scheduled for Wednesday morning. We pray for the father of Good Shepherd member Tim Schellenbach, who is hospitalized. And we pray for the family of Cletus Thane, one of our orphan shut-ins that we've been taking care of, who was called to her eternal home this past week. For all who have been cleansed in the clean water of holy baptism, that the Helper would enliven their faith and empower them to always be ready to bear witness to the hope that they have in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sending out of pastors and missionaries throughout the world, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would reach every place, creating and sustaining faith in those who hear and receive it, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that the Spirit of truth would keep us self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of our prayers, and that we would, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, recognizing that love covers a multitude of sins. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer for their witness to Christ, that the Helper would strengthen them to endure until they may rejoice and be glad when Christ's glory is revealed. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have been placed in authority over us, that they would rule with integrity and honor. And for all who serve in our armed forces, that, entrusting themselves to Christ's protection, they may know his saving grace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the afflicted, the dying, the mourning, the lonely, especially Peggy, Ken, Mark, Sharon, Joe, Francine, Loretta, Georgia, Al, Irma, Shirley, Mildred, Ruth, Marilyn, Mel, Rahima, Paris, Daniel, Lawson, father of Tim Schellenbach, the family of Cletus Thane, and all those that we remember in our hearts. That Christ himself would be their health in sickness, their joy in sorrow, and their life in death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come today to the Lamb's feast, that being made partakers of Christ's divine nature in the eating and drinking of his very body and blood, they would be filled with his life and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful departed, and especially for all the holy martyrs up to the present day, let us offer thanks and praise, asking our Heavenly Father to grant us all a share with them in the rest and peace of Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, who promises to spend the Spirit of truth, who will guide us and keep us in all truth. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of God's love in Jesus, true for you and for the life of the world, would be yours always. We worship God now with our gifts and our offerings. We stand and sing the offertory, page 159. To the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we received the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord. Give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, number 488. He is arisen, glorious word. Welcome in the name of Jesus, from whom, along with the Father, proceeds the Spirit of truth. Next Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church, grand celebration. We pray God's blessings upon our time together. Check out the Good Shepherd news and notes. All the activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Big activity this upcoming week is Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Most of all, we need kids, so encourage kids to sign up. And if kids aren't confirmed, they're welcome. And if they've already been confirmed, if they want to be a helper, we'll find a spot for you to help. Sign up sheets out there. You notice the narthex is already starting to take shape with regard to the different themes of each individual day. We will have our regular worship service on Wednesday evening at 6:30, but things will be pretty busy here from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday, with regard to Vacation Bible School. If you have the kids pre-registered, great. If they're not pre-registered, come a few minutes early tomorrow so we can take care of that paperwork. You're all invited to coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. We have one opportunity for Bible study this morning. That's in the fellowship hall. Joyful generosity. Joyful generosity. A look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in 5 minutes or so. Pastor, welcome back.
Thank you.
The bear population is not depleted any?
No. I saw two bears, but they were both running, and they run a lot faster than you think. And 7 hours into my drive home, my hunting buddy called and said he had shot bears.
A day late and a dollar short. Go. Well,
everything went pretty well. Made it safely back from Camp Kameka, so thanks for
coming. Okay, all right, very good. So, no more flying solo for me. Please join us for coffee and goodies, study of God's Word. Keep Vacation Bible School in your prayers. If you can help or bring kids, that would be awesome. Have a great day in the Lord.